It was Hendershot's statement that his motor derived force from this Earth's magnetic field. It is probable that, if the motor was driven by his own magic, he would, even if he knew this, attribute it to something else. It is likely that spiritualistic mediums or a few of them have occult powers of their own, but they attribute them to spirits. Probably some stage magicians have occult powers, but, in a traditional fear of persecutions of witchcraft, they feel that it is safer to say that the hand is quicker than the eye. Divine healers and founders of religions have been careful to explain that their talents were not their own. In November 1874, John Worrell Keeley exhibited, to a dozen well-known Philadelphians, his motor. They were hard-headed businessmen as far as hard heads go, which isn't very far, but they were not dupes and gulls of the most plastic degree. They saw, or thought they saw, this motor operate, though connected in no way with any conventionally recognized source of power. Some of these witnesses considered the motor worth backing. Keeley, too, explained that something outside himself was the moving force, but nobody has ever been able to explain his explanations. Unlike Hendershot's simple contrivance, Keeley's motor was a large and complicated structure. The name of it was Formidable. When spoken of familiarly, it was a vibratory generator, but the full name of the monster was the Hydropneumatic Pulsating Vacuum Engine. A company was organized, and, after that, everything was very unsatisfactory, except to Keeley. There was something human about this engine, just as any monist, of course, thinks there is to everything, such as rats and trees and people. It was like so many promising young men, who arrive at middle age, still promising, and go to their graves, having, just before dying, promised something or another. It can't be said that the engine worked. The human-like thing had talents, and was capable of sensational stunts, but it couldn't earn a dollar. That is, at an honest day's toil, it could not, but with its promises it brought tens of thousands of dollars to Keeley. It is said that, though he lived well, he spent much of this money in experiments. Here, too, just what I suspect, though don't have it that I think I'm the only one who has had this idea, was just what was not asserted. That his motor moved responsively to a wizardry of his own, was just what Keeley never said. It could be that it was a motivation of his own, but that he did not know it. Mesmer, in his earlier phases, believed that he wrought cures with magnets, and he elaborated very terminological theories, in terms of magnets, until he either conceived, or admitted, that his effects were wrought by his own magic. I should like to have an opinion upon fuel-less engines, from an official of General Motors, to compare with what the doctors of Vienna and Paris thought of Mesmer. For 8 years there was faith, but then, December 1882, there was a meeting of disappointed stockholders of the Keeley Motor Co. In the midst of protests and accusations, Keeley announced that, though he would not publicly divulge the secret of his motor, he would tell everything to any representative of the dissatisfied ones. A stockholder named Boeckle was agreed upon. Boeckle's report was that it would be improper to describe the principle of the mechanism, but that Mr. Keeley had discovered all that he had claimed. There is no way of inquiring into how Mr. Boeckle was convinced. Considering the billions of human beings who have been convinced by bombardments of words and phrases beyond their comprehension, I think that Mr. Boeckle was reduced to a state of mental helplessness by flows of a hydropneumatic pulsating vacuum terminology, and that faithfully he kept his promise not to explain, because he had not more than the slightest comprehension of what it was that had convinced him. But I do not think that any character of Mr. Keeley's general abilities has ever practiced successfully without the aid of religion. Be good for a little while, and you shall have everlasting reward. Keeley was religious in preaching his doctrine of goodness, benefits to mankind, releases from enslavement, spare time for the cultivation of the best that is in everybody, promised by his motor, and in 6 months the stock will be quoted at several times its present value. I haven't a notion that John Worrell Keeley, with a need for business, and a throb for suffering humanity, was any less sincere than was General Booth, for instance. In November 1898, Keeley died. Clarence B. Moore, son of his patron, Mrs. Bloomfield Moore, short tens of thousands of dollars in his inheritance, because of Keeley and his promises, rented Keeley's house, and investigated. According to his findings, Keeley was an unadulterated rascal. This is too definite to suit my notions of us phenomena. The unadulterated, whether of food we eat, or the air we breathe, or of idealism, or of villainy, is unfindable. Even adultery is adulterated. There are qualms and other mixtures. Moore said that he had found the evidences of rascality. The motor was not the isolated mechanism that, according to him, the stockholders of the Keeley Motor Co. had been deceived into thinking it was. He had found an iron pipe and other tubes, and wires that led from the motor to the cellar. Here was a large, spherical, metallic object. There were ashes. Imposture exposed the motor had been run by a compressed air engine, in the cellar. Anybody who has ever tried to keep a secret 24 hours, will marvel at this story of an imposter who, against all the forces of revelation, such as gas men, and coal men, and other persons who get into cellars against inquisitive neighbors, and, if possible, even more inquisitive newspaper men against disappointed stockholders and outraged conventionalists, kept secret, for 24 years, his engine in the cellar. It made no difference what else came out. Taboo had, or pretended it had, something to base on. Almost all people of all eras are hypnotics. Their beliefs are induced beliefs. The proper authorities saw to it that the proper belief should be induced, and people believed properly. Stockholders said that they knew of the spherical object, or the alleged compressed air engine in the cellar, because Keeley had made no secret of it. Nobody demonstrated that by means of this object, the motor could be run. But beliefs can be run. So meaningless, in any sense of organization, were the wires and tubes, that I think of Hendershot's statement that he had complicated his motor with leads, as he called them. Stones that have fallen in houses where people were dying, the rambles of a pen of soft soap chairs that have moved about in the presence of poltergeist girls. But, in the presence of John Worrell Keeley, there were disciplined motions of a motor. For 24 years there were demonstrations, and though there was much of a stir-up of accusations, never was Keeley caught helping out a little. There was no red light, nor semi-darkness. The motor stood in no cabinet. Keeley stockholders were of a superior intelligence, as stockholders go, inasmuch as many of them investigated, somewhat, before speculating. They saw this solemn, big contrivance go around and around. Sometimes they saw sensational stunts. The thing tore thick ropes apart, broke iron bars, and shot bullets through a 12-inch plank. I conceive that the motivation of this thing was a wild talent, an uncultivated, rude, and unreliable power, such as is all genius in its infancy. That Keeley operated his motor by a development of mere willing, or visualizing, whether consciously, or not, knowing how he got his effects, succeeding spasmodically sometimes, failing often, according to the experience of all pioneers, imposter and messiah. Justifying himself, in the midst of promises that came to nothing, because he could say to himself something that Galileo should have said, but did not say, nevertheless it does move. Index. Prepared by Henry School Anger. Abbe, Professor Cleveland, 17. Abbott, Dr., 155, 718, 722, 725, 726. Abbott, Mrs. Annie, 1034. Abbott, Richard, 205. Aberdeen, Scotland, 935. Abderhalden, Emil, 1005. Abingdon, England, 111. Accidents, coincidental, 858, mysterious, 891F, 955F. A.C.H. Areus, 283. Abdo'Allah, Professor Syed, 260. Academy of the Natural Sciences of Philadelphia, 883. Academy of the Natural Sciences of Philadelphia, Proceedings of, 95, 501. Across Unknown South America, A.H. Savage Landor, 640. Adelia, Asia Minor, 274. Adams, D.R., 138, 319, 325, 326, 334, 729. Adams, Dr. James, 66. Adams, Sydney Guy, 990. Adelaide, Australia, 609. Adelaide Observer, 609. Adelaide Observatory, 805. Adisham, England, 745. Adrianople, Turkey, 288. Adriatic Sea, 394. Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, 863. Advertiser Scotsman, 186. Aerial World, Hartwig, 282. Aerolites, Fall of, 101, 129, 410. Africa, 33, 34, 69, 103, 105, 107, 213, 257, 602, 618, 798, 806F, 878. Afterglow, 759, 769, 781, 783, 786, 817. Agamemnon, Professor, 765, 808, 809. Agostini, Rinaldo, 677. Agra, India, 689. Arenkield, Captain, 857. Aiken, South Carolina, 562. Airy, Sir George, 318, 319, 343. Aix-les-Bains, France, 680. Akron, Ohio, 561. Almokareb, 798, 806, 807. Al-Sufi, 380. Alabama, 62, 510, 546, 755, 794, 849. Alabaster, Fall of, 89. Alize, France, 76. Alaska, 491FF, 623, 800, 832. Alaska, Minor Bruce, 492. Albany, New York, 754. Albemarle, Ship, 74. Albert, DR, 709. Alberta, Canada, 812. Albright, Mrs., 506. Albumin, Synthetic, 1006. Alcorn, Robert, 466. Aldebug, Suffolk, England, 473. Aldershot, England, 697. Alexander the Great, 91. Alexandra, Queen, 868. Alfani, Professor, 809. Alfarachi, 648.